Hello and welcome to the Performance Physique Podcast. My name is Arj and I am your head coach. This podcast is all about helping you with your running, your nutrition and your training. We take the jargon out of sports science to help you realize your goals faster than ever before. Let's get started.
Week in review. It's that time of the show here on BBC Radio London. Quite simply, what I like to do. So I'm joined by an array of guests. They're all Londoners and we delve into what they are talking about, what's really grabbed their attention. I'm joined on the line now. I've got Arj Tiruchelvam, who is owner and head coach of Performance Physique, and also Roisin Dervish O'Kane, who is senior editor at Women's Health Magazine. Arj, Roisin, great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Hello, Shay. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back. How are you? I'm saying that to Arj first. You're all right, mate.
Yeah, really good, thank you. Just to say, I watched The Family all those years ago.
Did you?
Absolutely adored it. Thank
Legend!
You.
Love it. Thank you, Arj, for that. And Roisin, how are you doing, Roisin? You well?
I'm good. I am really well. I've got a few days off, actually. And you know when you take annual leave, but I don't have any wild plans. So I'm just going to have like a really nice few life admin days and enjoying London.
Do you know, that is sometimes the best thing to do, but I have to be honest with you, and I don't want to be that moany Londoner, but this weather's been a bit horrible, hasn't it, Roisin? It's like, come on, it's the 27th of July. What is going on?
I know, I'm sitting here in a hoodie. It's rude.
And Arj, obviously, as I just mentioned, you're the head coach of Performance Physique. You want to get people out and about. So, I mean, this weather's a bit boring to be doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been very wet for many, many days now, Shay.
I kind of think for me, we've got to hope at some point the summer holidays will come through with the weather. But I know there's quite an array of stories to delve into this afternoon. I'm going to start with yourself, Roisin, first, if I can. And it was one that I was waiting to speak to you and Arj about, and I'm going to be reflecting upon a little bit later on in the show as well. And that's, with regards to the sad news of Sinead O'Connor passing away.
Oh, gosh, like what? That was really, you know, when you see those alerts pop up, it's never nice, but that was one that really got me in the gut yesterday. What a woman, what a force. I think she will be so sorely missed, and I know she's so especially important to women from Ireland, especially women from Ireland of that generation, who were some of the first to really speak out about stuff that people didn't speak out about before.
What are your thoughts,
Arj? Yeah, it's, I mean, I think that word was perfect, Roisin. Force. I heard the news yesterday, the alert came up, and I've got to say, I feel like there's too many alerts at the moment for these kind of things. But I didn't realise that she covered that momentous song, Nothing Compares to You. I always thought it was hers because the way she delivered that song was so tremendous. So going to be sorely missed. But like we said in the past, it just gives her a louder voice now she's moved on.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, that worldwide hit, right? Nothing Compares to You. I think that it's something about Sinead O'Connor's, just the emotion in the video that is always stayed with me. I remember it like it was yesterday, watching on MTV, if you remember that. But I think you are absolutely right. And I will be paying tribute to, and I'm going to steal that word, to the force, as you say, Roisin, of Sinead O'Connor, because I think you are right. Yeah. She's going to be sorely missed. So shall we delve into and talk about some of the key aspects that you did want to discuss this afternoon, Roisin? What was the first story that you were keen to delve into?
Absolutely. So the first one is on a completely different tonal switch.
Sure.
Is talking about the Women's World Cup.
Yes.
Awesome.
Is underway in Australia and New Zealand, and we are cheering on the Lionesses, I think probably most of the country. Last year at the Euros, you know, we at Women's Health fell for them hook, line and sinker. Mm. There was, we saw them play with talent. We saw in press conferences their eloquence, their passion and their joy. You know, just these normal, just normal girls. Normal girls, normal women from normal streets, closes and estates up and down the country, just winning. And we really just provoked something. What about you, Arj?
Oh, absolutely. So this is a story really close to my heart, actually, because I used to work with Mark Skinner, who's now the head coach of Manchester United Women.
Nice.
And his partner, Laura, who used to be the England captain. Mm. And I taught one of the players, Jess Carter.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. And,
so through him, a lot of these players used to come in, into our office, and seeing them grow up from these young ladies into, you know, powerhouses of sport. And it, I don't know if you guys have seen the figures released from the first 2 days. I think in Australia, the women's team have had something like 3 times the amount of the audience than the men did in the World Cup. And I think this just demonstrates the power of women's sport is going to grow and grow and grow. And I tell you what, I would openly admit this, I would feel more comfortable taking my little nephews to a women's game, which seems to be more about what's happening on the pitch than to any other kind of match at this moment in time.
Honestly.
What's your take on that, Roisin? Because as you say, with women's health, there was a key focus. I mean, last year, everyone was talking about, you know, women's sport. But I suspect with the magazine, it must have been quite an opportune moment to focus on women, young women, girls and their relationship with sport.
Oh, absolutely. So we have had 2 covers. So our 2 kind of biggest issues of the year have both been fronted by lionesses. So first we had Leah Williamson in January, and she spoke really frankly about, you know, her frustrations about the game being held back, also her experiences with endometriosis and being really open and frank about the impact that that can have on her game. And at the moment we've got the fabulous Alessia Russo, who I don't know if you or any of your listeners saw her goal last year in the Euro. What a goal.
It was something, right? And I think what was amazing, because like, I don't know if you saw it, but just before the World Cup began, BBC One did this brilliant kind of like reliving documentary of the Euros with the Lionesses. And they talk through the goals and what they were going through at the time. If you haven't seen it, I'd really, really recommend to watch it. But Arj, without sounding too cheeky here, I've got to say, I always said it would be the women that would bring it home. I always said it, and I was so chuffed it was with the Euros, and I suspect it's going to happen the same with the World Cup. But if we move that conversation further, because funnily enough, one of your stories, Arj, is to talk about exercise, and you know, whether it's sports or whether it is actually trying to do some form of exercise. We've got the summer here. I know the weather isn't great, but all of us are trying to focus on our health, aren't we?
I realised that, obviously, with my background, I always want to talk about sport. But last time, I just brought up sports topic after sports topic. But this one was a really great piece of research. And I think Roisin wanted to discuss it as well. And it was a latest piece of research which argues that they basically suggest over any other form of exercise to perform to reduce your blood pressure is to perform isometric exercises like a plank and a wall sit. These are great pieces of research because we're opening new doors. And I think it's really important that we try to introduce people to exercise. But with everything, I think we always need to raise the biggest challenge that everyone faces, and that's just starting with something. Mm. And I don't know about you guys, but if you heard the words, you need to perform isometric exercise.
I'd be like, what?
I don't know how welcoming. Yeah.
Sounds like I'm going to a maths class, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're expecting to study triangles or something, aren't you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, because some people will be surprised by this, but it was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. The trials involved 16,000 people. So this is quite a staggering amount. And they found wall squats, but planking led to larger falls than aerobic exercise. I mean, that sounds really different to what we've been taught even in schools.
Yeah, so this is actually from what's called a meta-analysis So this is where you collect tons of different research papers. I think it was something like 270 research papers.
Okay.
And then you try to process all of that information in one big bulk. And the results, you know, I read the paper thoroughly. You know, I'm that guy that goes back and says, let me look at that. And, you know, the data did demonstrate that. But one of the things that the researchers do say, they say they had no control over actually how any of the exercise was performed.
Okay.
And this raises a big question of how long did you perform that exercise for? Because most of the exercise was performed for about 4 minutes or four lots of 4 minutes. Whereas you compare that to your 2 minutes, three times for your plank and the same for your wall sit. And I think it's really important that we don't try to fall into black and white. We need to live in the gray realistically, because yes, these exercises did fantastically well, but there's probably a good chance that if you love going on an hour long cycle, that's probably going to have a greater effect than 2 minutes worth of exercise.
Interesting.
Let's be realistic.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to digest with this one, Roshan. What's your perspective and take on this particular story then?
I just think it's, you know, the most, as we always say, the best form of exercise is the one that you actually do.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest. And there are enough barriers to, you know, as we like to say, getting fit done. You know, whether you're busy, especially, you know, we often speak to a lot of mothers, you know, there are so many things stopping us doing it that I think it's really helpful. Anything that reminds people that, you know, committing to a fitness regime or committing to exercising to better your health doesn't have to be torturous. It doesn't have to be like, it's brilliant if you want to sign up for a half marathon. It's brilliant if you want to take on like a strongman challenge. Like, this is all great, but basically, you know, being health, being any with anything with health, and this again is what we always say, it's not about those big shiny moments, it's about the small actions that you take on day-to-day, week-to-week basis. So if people are being reminded that, you know, maybe it will benefit them if they've only got 5-7 minutes, if they whack out a couple of planks and do a few sit-ups and do some wall and do a wall sit, and that's worth it. And I think anything that gets that across, and this study has had loads of pickup, anything that gets that across I think is really helpful.
So let's
100%.
Let's move forward to the next topic, shall we? Because I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, you can go to the BBC website. It's got actual images of how you should be doing the planks, the wall sits, all of that kind of stuff, and really what it would do in terms of health benefits. I wanted to, Roshan, speak to you about this story, because it's quite an interesting one around fertility anxiety. Just set the scene and context around this story.
Yes. So this was actually a feature. It was a first person piece by a really brilliant journalist called Sophie Gallagher in The Eye. And it's basically looking at the fertility anxiety that millennials are feeling. And so maybe for me, this was especially resonant because I'm the exact same age as the writer.
Okay.
But so she talks about how, you know, while one in seven, the NHS says one in seven couples will struggle to conceive, 84% will conceive naturally after trying, you know, having regular sex for a year.
Mm.
So, but why, she says, why do her, all her friends have this default idea that they're going to struggle despite not having any medical reason why? And she really digs into this. And looks at the, you know, the fact that, you know, male infertility is declining. Of course, some people will struggle, but also are things in the culture feeding into this anxiety? So, for example, there's been a massive boom in egg freezing. So the rates for 2021 were massively up. And people are spending more and more on fertility tests. And because there has been this awareness about just how dreadful infertility issues can be, those are the stories that we are platforming. Maybe more, and people don't want to say, oh, I got pregnant on honeymoon, or I got pregnant after a few times trying. And actually, are we being our own worst enemy in a way and perpetuating this culture of fear? She quotes a reproductive medicine professor at South University who said a quarter to a third of the women that come and see her don't need to be there.
What's your take on this, Arj? Because it's quite something, isn't it, as you say, Roisin, the fact that this fertility anxiety has almost been exacerbated because we are seeing so many others, whether it's on social media or online, looking at their age and almost this kind of, you know, we sometimes talk about this clock that is ticking. What's your take on this, Arj?
This might actually come as a surprise, but this is an area that I come across quite a lot with the people I work with. And I think one of the reasons that we see this anxiety angle increasing is because we're leaving things to a much later time. So you're wondering throughout that entire time, say you're choosing that you want to start your family at the age of 30, 32, you know, there's not necessarily a right or wrong, but you're in one sense saying, well, we're going to find out in 10 years' time or in 5 years' time, do we have infertility issues? So you're always raising this question and therefore the anxiety increases. I think there is a lot that needs to be addressed with the way we actually educate the chances of fertility. You know, that realistically it's one day. It's only one day, your opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think if this was taught in schools, that perhaps things would be maybe addressed slightly more
earlier. It's quite a fascinating conversation, I have to say, Roisin and also Arj, and I wish I had more time. We're going to have to get you both in the studio. Just before I let you go, there's an exclusive interview in the magazine tomorrow, isn't there, Roisin?
Yes, so there is one in the magazine. We've got our exclusive interview with Alessia Russo, who is the star striker, talking all things World Cup. And actually, amazing, brand new on the site, we have an exclusive interview with pop star Anne-Marie, who talks all about why she's quitting therapy and all about why she's breaking up with body ideals.
So we'll definitely we'll have a check out for that. And finally, Arj, how can people get in touch with yourself online?
If they just head to performancephysique.co.uk, or if they go on Instagram and type in Performance Physique, they'll see my smiley face.
Lovely speaking to you both, Roisin and Arj. Have a lovely rest of your week, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for listening to the Performance Physique podcast. Don't forget, you can find us on Instagram. It's at performance_physique. You can find us on Facebook, Performance Physique, or if you just head to performancephysique.co.uk, and we'll do our very best to help you. It will mean the world to me, though, if you can share this podcast with one friend this week. Right, for now, take care.